Hey sluts, I'm Aubrey, an Aquarius sun, Scorpio moon, Taurus rising.
And I'm Danny, a Sag sun, Leo moon, Libra rising.
And we're your astro sluts. Happy spooky season.
Happy spooky season. If you haven't already picked it up, we are in costume today.
We're feeling silly goofy. If you don't watch our video podcasts, head on over to Spotify. Highly recommend. We're Wednesday in Enid today.
Yeah.
Can we say it? We're going to dress up every week?
We're going to dress up every week. So.
As your favorite pink goth duos.
Yeah. Icons only, bitch.
Yes. We've missed you. It's a new season.
It's a new season. Spooky season, season 7. I think this is the shortest break we've taken.
For sure. Yeah.
So I'm like, I feel like it's like not new, but it's new.
It is new.
It is new. Good for us. We've really snapped back.
I know.
Thanks for calling Astro Sluts. Leave your birth time.
Want to know how to get that guy? Text their mom. We're going to need that time. We'll be your latest crush. Call us Astro Sluts.
Yeah, you have updates for us.
Well, not really anything crazy. I'm really excited for fall. Honestly, I'm just like really excited for season change. My doctor told me to start taking vitamin B12, and I swear to God, it's ruined my life. The past 3 weeks, this shit has ruined my life, and like literally undid like 3 years of therapy. So I've just awesome. Been recovering from my vitamin intake. If you're sensitive out there too, you might have also been overstimulated by vitamin B12. I'm not sure. But for me personally, it made me feel like I was like truly like paralyzed with fear all the time. Like I couldn't get work done. Like I was just like sitting staring at my laptop like dead eyes, dead brain, like nothing, like too much, so much energy. I was like non-functioning. So that took me a while to come down from. Now I've just stopped taking it. So she's going to be pissed when I have to go back for my blood work in 3 months to check my vitamin B levels because they're going to be the same. But
maybe
yeah,
just eat more kale or something.
I know. Like, that's what I'm like, cheese, eggs, like we don't, neither of us eat meat, so it's not.
Yeah.
But I'm like, other stuff has vitamin B12. I don't know. It was not good. I've been doing acupuncture, though. That's been my trying to ground myself, and I'm really liking it. That's my big update, I think.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Beware.
Beware of B12. I think, like, the biggest update I have for our listeners is that my ex is engaged.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Like, I want the thing to come across the bottom of the screen. What is that called? A script or something? I don't know. A runner, maybe.
Yeah. So that's something that we can all make of what we will. I'm feeling really good about it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm feeling, like, really good about it. Which, like, I am proud of all the work that I've done on myself in the past few months.
Yeah, me too.
And like, I do, like, things like did start to like come, were coming up for me, like, about that relationship. And then I was like, wait, am I not over that whole situation? Am I, obviously, like, healing is not linear type B, but like, it felt really good to have like a pillar of like, this thing happened and it did not upset me.
No, totally. Yeah, that's very fair. Well, because I think it really is the difference of like, you can miss being in a relationship, you can miss the partnership, whatever, but you don't miss the person.
Yeah.
And that's like a big growth step.
Yes. So, yeah, that's that.
I'll remind you that this apartment happened in May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We won't say anything else.
Yeah, that's all. I did move out May 1st. Happy
cheers.
Yeah,
cheers.
Yes. our next segment. Yeah.
I said that's so scary.
I've got goosebumps. It's time for your weekly
horoscopes. I went plural. Sorry.
It's okay. I can't figure out what we just said that like, but it was something.
I don't know. Like,
it was giving a Disney Channel.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, spell. We're going to let you know what's happening in the sky this week. What new cycles to look out for. What shifts are going on with the planets.
Beautiful. I'll start us off with Libra season.
Yay.
Libra season started on September 22nd. Depending on your time zone, it was an overnight situation. But we are here now. When you are listening to this, we are in Libra season. It's a wonderful season. I'm excited. It's a first house season for me. Again, it was 12th house with the Virgo and the anxiety vitamins. So that was a lot for me. So I'm excited to come back finding balance. Obviously, for everyone is a great theme to kind of work with this month. Also, just like big shift seasonally from summer to fall. So Libra is our cardinal sign. So it's like new energy, new era. Fall is here. We are slowing down after the summer craze. Cuffing season famously upon us at this time of year, which is very fitting for Libra as
very
it is
Libra core
rude ruled by Venus. So if you're not feeling the lovey-dovey vibes, you can also like update your fall wardrobe, go the more aesthetic route, or you can start dating, go on some dates. Why break not? Up with someone, break up with your summer fling a la Very Harry Hill.
Yes.
Or start something new, maybe take something to the next level. Enjoy. Cheers.
Then on September 29th, we have a full moon in Aries. This is considered the harvest moon. Mm. The harvest moon is whatever full moon is closest to the autumnal equinox, which I believe is the start of Libra season.
Yeah.
I guess this year it was about the same. Okay,
yeah.
Scratch that. Because sometimes the harvest moon is the September full moon and sometimes it's the October full moon. I guess it's like the equal day of the year.
Yes.
Okay, this is all clicking from you now. The autumnal equinox is when like the day and the night are equal lengths. And on the harvest full moon, the moon rises just after sunset. Mm. As opposed to, I didn't realize, I guess every day the moon rises 50 minutes later.
Oh, I didn't really know that.
I guess it has to like start over at some point, but yeah. At some point in the year, it's rising 50 minutes later every night. So the harvest full moon is like the moon rises right after sunset. Okay. So like if you were a farmer, you'd be able to like harvest your crops for longer in those couple evenings.
Yeah.
Full moons in general, this is like the halfway point part of our monthly moon cycle. It's not really the time to like start projects or anything. Things can feel like heightened. Things are going to be illuminated like the moon is. So I would say now is like a good time to take inventory of how you're feeling. If you're like feeling amazing and like things are happening and you're liking them, like good for you. Like take note of what you've done differently this month and be like, yes, I'm going to keep doing that. But if things are not going how you want, also take note of that. Try to like take care of yourself the best you can for these next 2 weeks and give yourself little notes. In 2 weeks when we have a new moon, that's the time to like set your intentions, like make different choices so that the next full moon you're not like totally burnt out or anything, because the full moon, the days surrounding the full moon are going to be like the highest energy. In if you're like taking care of yourself, those are going to be the days with the highest energy of the month. But if you haven't been taking care of yourself, you're going to like feel like shit.
Yeah, totally.
So good things to take note on. And reflect on. This one, this full moon is in Aries. So like we know Aries can be super like impulsive, reactionary. They're like big debaters, like devil's advocate for sport type of energy. So try to sleep on that. I don't know. I would say if you like have any like emotional decisions that you're trying to make, like sleep on it. Sleep on it a couple times. Like you don't need to do it now. I think this like Aries Libra axis is something that keeps coming up for us in episodes recently. So, you know, finding that balance between like your independence and what you need and your like relationships with other people.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Beautiful.
Boo.
Boo.
This season, we are going to Monster, Monster High, Monster High, The Party Never Dies for our education segment. I recently looked up the lyrics to Monster High and found out there's so many versions of the song. So that's the one I know from the commercials.
I didn't know that. Okay, I was trying to show that I have a black cat, which is nicely on theme. She needs to be held. But anyways,
she will not be a prop.
No, she won't, which I respect. I didn't know that there was multiple Monster High songs.
Well, because I think because like we knew them as dolls, right?
I was under the impression they were dolls.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I thought. They were dolls, but then there was like a show.
Okay, yeah.
So then there's like a song on the show.
Related or unrelated?
Related.
Okay.
But like I think it had like, I think it took on a lot of lives beyond the Target doll.
I'm also imagining a Lil Uzi music video. Does that have anything actually to do with Monster High? Or is it just like the vibe?
I don't know. Maybe the vibe. But it's, it doesn't sound wrong.
No, it's not. I feel like I need to look it up now. Oh, it's Demon High.
Oh.
Okay, but this music video. Okay. Lil Uzi. Okay. Anyway. Did we get into what it is?
No.
Okay, great. Can you carry on?
So this week at Monster High, we're going to be learning about Pluto.
Yay!
Yay!
should we just dive in?
Yeah. I guess we could say that all season, we're going to be talking about like spooky, concerning, alarming, maybe frightful astrology topics that aren't any of those things truly, but just things that once we know better, we can do better, we can understand better. So we're going to be talking about all the spooky things in astrology.
And what better than Pluto? Pluto, as we know, is the farthest planet from the sun. Call it what you will, right. NASA. It's a planet for our terms and purposes. It was named after Hades, which is the king of the underworld. Spooky. Because I guess Hades' Roman name is Pluto. And it means riches.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Pluto is going to be the planet of like death and transformation. So people consider it connected to like your fate or destiny type of situations.
Also like power, rebirth. But like obsessions too. Yeah. So I feel like it has like anything on that axis in the positive way, like power, rebirth to like the darker side of those themes.
Yeah. Things death. That you're really good at or things that will like be your detriment.
Beautiful. It's the modern ruler of Scorpio. So traditionally Scorpio is ruled by Mars, which we probably know, but in modern rulership, it rules Scorpio. So a lot of those themes are going to come up as we chit chat today. It also takes 248 years to orbit the zodiac. So it is quite far and slow moving. Two summers ago, last summer, we did Pluto and Sagittarius episode, so it is like very generational. We think it's a little more powerful than just saying like millennial Gen Z with the random years. It's a little more defined by Pluto's movement, which takes 12 to 31 years per sign. So also a range there, but quite a long time, essentially.
Yes, I will. We're going to go through Pluto through all the like signs slash houses. Mm-hmm. I had a crazy realization in like thinking about how I wanted to say this for this episode. But so I took notes on like which generations line up with which Pluto placements, mm-hmm. and I'll mention them as we go through. The realization that I had, though, was that like our podcast is going to exist forever.
Uh-huh.
So like in theory, like in 200 years when, or like not even, let's say like in 100 years when Pluto is in a sign that like nobody alive right now has. So we would be like, we could skip it. But like this could always be relevant to someone.
That's so true. Because I was thinking, I said, like I was like, we should do, like should we do House of Signs? And then when I was doing my research last night, I was like, okay, like I guess we can think more sign or house. I mean, yes. Because obviously, sadly, the people maybe 250 years are no longer listening with us here today, but you're right.
But in theory, in the future, someone could be listening to this and we could be like, well, we're just going to skip Aries because nobody alive has Aries.
Fuck but- you.
But so like this is for the children of the future.
That's beautiful. We're going to talk about them.
Oh, last thing, just like the word I'm looking for, like overview wise, mm-hmm. I do think that your Pluto placement is somewhere where you can like find self-transformation through facing your fears, mm-hmm. is like a good way to like
totally
put through it. Like this is gonna be something you might have, like you might find challenging in your chart,
but yeah,
like, if you like take the time and energy to like work through and like reflect and think about your relationship to this, mm-hmm. part of your life.
Yeah, definitely something that's going to probably come up like not one time in your life.
Yes.
Like something that's going to be a theme over and over throughout your life that like, yeah, you can just, you can either keep doing the same thing or you can change your relationship to it kind of vibe. Shall we get into it?
I think so.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Aries and then also the first house. I'm doing it as a onesie.
Yeah.
This is obviously like quite an intense, intimidating first impression kind of vibe. So like those people who you meet and they're just like like mysterious haughty energy, like that kind of like captivating, you want to know more about them, like you can think of it rising sign energy, like your first impression, they've just got like an air about them. Like Johnny Depp has this placement and obviously like Johnny Depp, but like that does make a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Like that gaze,
mysterious, the features,
mysterious hottie. These people could also be like quite private and reserved, just because like your personal self is something you're not willing to like share out to the world publicly. I could see this being someone who like has 3 posts on Instagram, like just like one row, or like doesn't like will like hard launch their first child and people didn't even know they were married on social media, kind of thing. Like just like not an oversharer, as we like to do on this, in this realm. You might feel like very obsessed with power, or that might be like a theme that comes up for you, like personal power or the pursuit of power. I would say for this, like ideally it's something you find within yourself and not like project onto people, I think would be the nice way to grow into this. And you probably have a big fear of rejection, which like we all do, but I feel like with this first house, it's like a lot more personal energy of like fear, like if you put something out, like every once in a while you put something out and it's not received, it's like taken very heavily, mm-hmm. as opposed to just being like, huh, no one laughed at my joke, I'll just say another one. Like it doesn't feel like the vibe here.
I love it.
That's the first house.
If you in the future have Pluto in Taurus, or if today you have Pluto in the second house, this is going to be like overall financial themes. It's giving Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Yeah.
I used to love
that movie. I love that movie.
I think I have it on DVD over there, low key.
Can I say something quick?
Yeah, please.
So the last time I saw that movie, I was getting a blowout And I was, they were playing it like at Dry Bar. I was like, this is the worst movie to play as I'm paying someone like $75 to blow dry my hair. And then there's like the girl whose life is being torn to shred because she can't stop shopping. I was like, pick a different movie.
Yeah, it's giving like you're the type you need to like chop up your credit cards and like freeze them in ice cubes.
I love that.
It's so funny. And I also love that it like, that it's just like not possible anymore.
Yeah,
like,
no.
With Apple Pay and whatever. Yeah, it's just, they've made it impossible to do. But I definitely think there could be a tendency for like overspending here, just like obsessed with like things you own, like just having stuff, having money, having belongings. So I definitely think like reflecting on your relationship to those things, are the things that you spend your money on like in true alignment with your values kind of things. I do think this could be like an indicator just of wealth in general, like just money comes easily to you. But yeah, it might be a bit of an obsession.
Pluto in Gemini or in the third house in your chart. This is where my Pluto is. Very opinionated. You might be a very like direct or blunt communicator. It might be something that you've struggled with your whole life. But this is gonna, I think, like translate into just like a deep need to discover like what is true to you, like what is your personal truth. You might hold like very different beliefs over the course of your life, which I thought was interesting, but I think makes a lot of sense with that like Gemini energy of just like trying to learn and learn and learn and then like grow and grow and grow from it. This also could have to do with like drama with siblings, neighbors, those kinds of like close community members to you. Could be like you had a hard time connecting with people as a child or were like bullied a lot in school. So I think maybe some like nice inner child work would be good for that here too. And just, you know, keep discovering your true self.
Beautiful. I don't know like a ton about this like this is not either of our like niche astrology knowledges, but I do think Pluto in general is like an early childhood development indicator. Like wherever, I do think it's one of those things like wherever your Pluto is, like is indicative of what you were struggling with as a baby too. So I do think inner child work is like overall for everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, and like, maybe looking into it specifically of like whatever category it is. Yeah. Like if it's in the second house, like what was your relationship to money growing up kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely.
But let's move on. If you have Pluto in Cancer or the fourth house, which might be your grandparents. The last time Pluto was in Cancer was 1914 to 1938. So the folks are alive, some of them. This is giving through like working through ancestral trauma is gonna be a big thing. You might be like one of those people that's like obsessed with building your like family tree or like doing research on your ancestry or like cultural identity, like doing that kind of digging through the past, which I do think is super interesting. And just like there was like I feel like in that like 1914, 1938, at least in like the United States, it's like a lot of immigration
totally
happening there. So it's very interesting that it's like this time of like movement and like I think that's like industrial revolution times, right? So it's like this aggressive movement forward all while at the same time like we need to like keep a connection to the past. But I do think if this placement in particular is like very important to like work through these like, you know, generational traumas and whatever before you can like have like a family of your own, like it's definitely stuff you need to like work through, otherwise it's gonna be like continuing down your family tree. We don't want that.
We don't want that. Pluto in Leo or in the fifth house. Can you give us the year?
1938 to 1957.
Beautiful. This is definitely going to be like a strong urge to create. And maybe in like very interesting or different ways, you might have just like unusual talents or hobbies different than other people. You might create like very taboo work or like very like niche kinds of art, like things that just like you might not see, like expect to see in a museum or like on a large scale. Obviously it can get there, but you might just feel like you want to make things that are like weird or different than others, or like you might be afraid to put it out into the world. I thought this was interesting. Obviously fifth house with like creation can also be children. So this was saying like you might have a hard time connecting to your children. Like they just feel very different than you, which I thought like was an interesting tidbit there. Like kind of the same thing with like the art, feeling like, oh my God, is this too scary to put out into the world? Then you're like, oh my God, like this is my child and I don't know how to relate to them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of same energy there. Very Leo energy here of just like you might really struggle to with like rejection if you're not the center of attention, or if your work wasn't really well received, or you're not the star of the show. Very strong ego here, which obviously we know can be a good thing or a bad thing, depend on how you use it. This placement can also become like easily emotionally out of whack or overwhelmed, which I think is just a very, it's a very artist way to be. So keep an eye out for that. And fifth house is all about risk too, like that kind of like when we talked about it, like in a hookup-y sense. But this with Pluto, brought up gambling a couple different times.
Interesting.
Just that kind of like obsession with risk that like comes through gambling, but I think obviously it can come through like other kind of like detrimental things
as well. A gamble as a...
Right. As like less anything, literal. Yeah.
Not blackjack.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe something to, you know, keep your eye on for yourself.
If you have Pluto in Virgo, this was if you were born between 1959 and 1972, or if you have Pluto in the sixth house, it'll all have the same kind of vibe. The last time Pluto was in Virgo is this like boomer generation, which like, so then Virgo sixth house is giving like so like really body issues is like the main thing that I'm
like arthritis.
Perhaps, but I really feel like it's like so much of
totally.
Like what we have grown up with is like the adults being like, I don't know, like fucking Victoria's Secret feels so like Pluto in Virgo.
No, totally.
To me, just like, it just, I don't know, it just makes sense. Like your relationship with your body, like we recommend body neutrality in this house.
Yeah.
But, you know, do what you will. But yeah, I think it's very much like it's very physical.
Yeah, it also just gives like, I mean, I don't actually have any basis on this. I'm just speaking from the brain. It's giving like I would love to track like the rise of like pharmaceutical commercials and all like the medical stuff. I mean, that's kind of interesting when we talk about Virgo too.
Absolutely.
Feels like there was maybe a correlation.
Yeah, lots of like beauty, health.
Yeah,
like etc. Like in all the ways that those two things connect. Like, whether it's like plastic surgery or dieting or exercise or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I think an obsession, either way, on being like obsessed with being pretty or it's like that also that obsessive like health, like weird dieting or like whatever, totally. Like, which, you know, I guess a quote over health on that, like just the obsession with working out like 40 times a day or whatever. Mm-hmm. Are things to look out for, you know? And then also in another axis of Virgo, I think this could also show up as like struggling with like a work-life balance.
Yeah, totally.
Like being obsessed with working or whatever. But posy spin to round us out. Something that is really supportive for Virgo is routine. The sixth house is like daily life. So I do think that for people with these placements, like having some sort of routine in health or whatever is like in work is going to like be supportive of you. So like look at look at implementing healthy, supportive routines for yourself and sticking to it.
Beautiful. Pluto in Libra, or the seventh house.
Last time Pluto was in Libra was 1971 to 1984. So it's like Gen X territory.
Mm-hmm. So this is very much transformation through partnerships. Again, that comes with risk, that comes with reward, as does everything. You may attract very dominant partners, like that very plutonic energy. If we think about, like, when we talked about descendant in last season, like, it is like that kind of, it's in that area of your life. So you might really attract people with like a very intense energy, or you could be the one in the relationship with that intense energy. I think that could like either play out as a like deep fear of connection, of bonding, of being intimate with someone where like you feel like you hold the power there because you like don't want to give in to someone. Or you could probably, on the other side of that, where like you are grasping for power and the other person holds it, is like just being like very obsessive in your relationship, very like anxious attachment kind of leaning energy. So obviously the goal here would be to find the balance. Libra. Breaking down kind of those like kind of power struggles or barriers and finding that balance where both parties hold some power. You have your own power and so does your partner. These people will also most likely have a very strong sense of justice, of wanting to do right, wanting to make right in the world, and like finding, you know, harmony throughout.
Up next, we've got Scorpio, or Pluto in the eighth house. Last time Pluto was in Scorpio was 1984 through 1995. So this is like millennial energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure this is where my Pluto is.
Eighth house? Yeah, I think it is.
Pluto rules the eighth house. So I do think that there is some like comfortability here with these like intense eighth house energies, hence me dressed up as Wednesday.
I know,
today.
Like, it's as like you deliver this speech it's Wednesday.
Fitting. But eighth house is the house of sex, death, like contracts, like legally binding stuff. All these like kind of like darker sometimes aspects of life.
Yeah.
That they all do kind of like require some like work to them a lot. Mm-hmm. We don't like say this a lot, but like marriage is a legally binding contract, for example.
Right.
So if you have these placements, like these types of like scenarios are going to feel more like transformative to you. Like if somebody dies or if you get married or like if you sign a contract that is like just more indicative of internal change, I guess.
Yeah.
For these types of people. I do think that there's also like obviously opportunity for obsession with any of these types of scenarios, or like you could also feel like you like really shy away from them and you like just avoid them. Maybe like I'm never getting married.
Yeah.
Also just being like they don't exist.
Right. Totally. Sagittarius, Pluto, and the ninth house. I want to say this is 95 to 2008, but I don't know if that's true.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God. I remember that from last year. Yeah. Good brain. This is going to be very big, like interest in religion, philosophy, very intelligent type. You might just be a big smarty pants here. I also thought it was cool that these placements, you might feel like very connected to other realms. Like you might be a little bit psychic there, just like very in tune. But really the power here for you is going to come through finding your own belief system. So like learning about different philosophies, different religions, and then like taking it and really seeing what like what marinates with you. No. Yeah, what resonates. I love the word marinate. What resonates with you, and then like forming your own opinions on them, forming your own like way of life through it. Very eat, pray, love energy here too, like the ninth house Sagittarius kind of wanderlusty adventurer themes. Just like discovering yourself through learning about other cultures and other people, different ideologies. I do think these people would be like very good cult leaders. Like this is very big, like kind of that like Sagittarian like whirlwind. Like they can just sweep you up and like they've got such a strong idea and pursuit of like what they want. Like people probably will follow you, you know, use your powers for good. Is my recommendation.
If you have Pluto in Capricorn, this is the people born from 2008 to 2024, like up until like January of this coming year. Or if you have Pluto in the 10th house. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is going to have to do with your relationship between or like to success and like authority. You might like crave having a lot of power in a work environment. It is giving like potential for like workplace tyrant. Love those. But you also do have the potential to be a great leader. You might just, or like on the flip side, might need to, if you're like shying away from being a leader, might need to work towards that. Or like work through what is preventing you from being like, no, I could like lead a project. I do think that this is like also like our house of like fame and like public image kind of thing. So I definitely think there's a tendency to like be obsessed in that realm. Or you might just like be a person whose like videos go viral all the time for no fucking reason. Like you might just like find being seen, like it might just like happen to you very easily.
That's interesting.
Pluto
in Aquarius or the 11th house. This is going to be a very charismatic character here. You might attract very intense friendships. That can obviously go a lot of different ways, but I think like what we talk about a lot, that kind of like passionate friendship, like blurring the lines between like romance, friendship, like that just like big intensity feels like that would be something that might come to you. Or maybe like, you know, Judas, feeling betrayed by your betrayed by your friends like throughout your life kind of thing, not just like one time. Like maybe that's like you have a little bit of a fear of getting into friendships because you've been like scorned before. You probably do have like have had struggles with fitting into groups, even though you like deep down do really want to fit in or really want to be like in community or feel seen by people. But these types of people would often like rather like be alone than be like with shitty or like fake friends kind of vibe. So that might be the struggle of just like you maybe just feel like a loner or something because you couldn't find those or haven't found those right connections yet. So big, like literally, even though this is not Aries or Libra, but like that kind of energy of like feeling like you want to stand out, but fit in. Aquarius Leo dynamic here of like, you want to fit in with the group, but you also want to maintain your like quirks and independence and individuality. So just like finding that internal versus external balance.
I think, that'll also be super interesting to see, like, cause these are people with being born starting next year and onward are going to have that placement. And I just feel like them being born into like a fully pandemic world, a fully digital world, like it is just like giving everything that you just said.
No, totally. That's so sad.
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah.
And to round us out, we've got Pluto in Pisces, which will be like people born in 20 years from now onward. Or if you have Pluto in the 12th house, 12th house is like the house of the underworld, although it is ruled by Neptune in astrology. But it is like similar, like murky, dark energy, these like things that are hidden. So I would say like either getting to know your shadow self as a way to like transform, working with your subconscious, or you might just like already be like psychic or like just be really into these like ethereal kind of like witchy, like dark kind of like psychological subjects, digging up like what is unnecessary. I think this is, I can't think of like exactly the reference I'm thinking of, but like it's giving like, it's giving hacker energy, honestly. Mm. It's like going, you're that person that's like, yeah, something is not right here, and I'm going to figure out what it is. And you're like digging deep, like finding like the root of these like problems that are going on, and you can freaking burn it down.
Yeah, totally. It's giving burner accounts.
Yes, it is giving when you look at who's seen your Instagram story.
Yeah, and it's porn 101.
I think it is so funny when girls make accounts like that. Like how the girlies have like copied spam accounts to blend in to stalk.
Yeah, literally. But did you know that's what, when you go on to like, because I have friends who do this, we don't judge them, but they do this. When I, like, when my friend, like, I had a friend who, like, tested it on me, and they were like, what does it look like when I watch your story through this, like, anonymous website? And it is, like, butt pick, like, story watcher 101 or whatever. Yep. Yeah. But that, I know, and I just get so weirded out because I'm like, some of those definitely are spam. But how do you know? Because those things watch my story all the time.
All the time. They're liking them too.
They like, yeah, immediately likes it, which is just like makes it embarrassing. Because, yeah, when she went out there, it immediately liked my story.
Oh.
I was like, you liked my story. And she was like, oh my God. Like, that's like makes it even worse.
Is that how you know then?
Maybe? I think so.
The ones that like your story are the fakers.
Yeah.
Your literal stalkers. The anons.
Yeah.
Gosh, that is so interesting.
Yeah, so interesting. Take a look at your birth chart. See where Pluto falls on your chart. And then maybe just reflect on, like, your life as a whole, honestly, and see where those, like, themes come up for you or come up often, or where you maybe, like, just, like, push them aside and out of your view. See what you can gather.
Yeah, and no pressure. This is not going to be like an easy fix or like an overnight like transformation. This is just like some nice little insight.
Yeah, a little check.
Yeah. Oh, this is like something that we're going to be like thinking about our relationship to forever.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Our next segment this season is called Skeletons in the Closet. We're getting them out. We like to take a little break from astrology and just talk about life and stuff for a few minutes every episode. Kitten, can we not be doing that? Thank you. Every episode. And yeah, today we're going to talk about misogyny.
I'm laughing because I wish that we got a skeleton and then what if I pulled it out from behind the couch?
Okay, and maybe honest, next time.
I know, I'm like, wait. And it sat right in the middle.
I have a skull in my car. I'll let our viewers at home decide if it's fake or not.
We'll circle back.
Yeah, circle back on that. Yeah, a truly terrifying topic.
Yeah,
for this week. And it's been so prominent.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
Yeah, I can start. I do. I said this to you yesterday.
Yeah.
I did yesterday. I just had like starting yesterday. I now just start crying whenever I see my friends.
Yeah.
Which is lovely. Actually, no, it started on Wednesday because I had therapy on Wednesday morning. I did it literally at our office because I was like so busy. The voices in my brain were being really mean on Tuesday, but I was so busy at work. I almost canceled therapy.
Oh,
and then
God.
I was like,
yeah,
no,
not the time.
We actually can't do that this week. So I did it at the office. But I literally started crying before therapy even started because I was like, oh my God, like my dad loves me so much. So I think at least sometimes my tears in the last week have been, oh, like there's people that really love me.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. Anyway, back to misogyny. I said this to you yesterday.
Yeah.
But something very interesting that I have noticed as a, you know, gender non-conforming person mm-hmm. is that I do experience misogyny super differently
yeah.
than a lot of other people because or who are not men. Because at least, you know, the people I'm surrounded by at the moment, the people that are just like classic fucking misogynists that like just like very bluntly misogynists like are freaked out by me and they just don't know what to do with me. Mm-hmm. And I do think that there's probably an aspect of like, oh, yeah, I hate women. I wouldn't want to be one either. So like,
yeah, there no, is I've some obviously sort been of like, thinking about this a lot since you said this yesterday.
Yeah, there's
too,
some
yeah.
like there's some like a little bit of common ground yeah. that I do like get pulled over. But then it is the people that are like, oh, I'm one of the good guys, though. Like, no, I like, I know your pronouns and stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's like those people that I feel like I experience way more misogyny from because they think they're like above it. And like,
yeah, it's like, yeah,
they're like
too
oh,
close to be a problem or something.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, no, I'm not a misogynist. Like, I'm.
Yeah.
And it's giving like, I don't. Yeah, it's like they're not actively not misogynist because they're just like, oh, yeah, I'm just not one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, but you're not like really looking at like your actions here.
Yeah.
Because just because you're not saying misogynistic shit or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you're not like calling me a bitch doesn't mean that you're not treating me.
I know.
Not great.
Yeah, it is interesting. We know the same group of people, obviously, but like the way that like half of this group treated me with misogyny was like by like saying like just like deeply inappropriate things, like making jokes about dating me that were inappropriate or who I've dated or, you know, whatever, like very like classically misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other, I would say the other group were always friendly, cordial. We were not really ever close, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, but almost, I guess it's same but different in the way of like, they probably didn't feel like they had any connection to me. So
yes.
like their misogyny wasn't outward either,
mm-hmm.
but it was like, what am I, well, I'm going to be friends with that blonde bitch over there? Like, what does she have? Like, why would I fuck with her kind of thing?
Yeah.
But then it's like the opposite.
Yes.
But
yes.
it's
no,
not,
no,
but it is.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I think I can articulate, I can start to, because yes, because then group B for you
yeah.
is like, oh no, this is someone that has similar interests to me and
right.
like a more similar, like, let's just say aesthetic, I
right.
guess. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, we're cool. But then group A for you is like, I can't
right.
date you.
No,
so
literally. Like I'm not
going to
grab your
you
ass.
Serve, yeah.
So, like,
so you serve no function.
Right. Like, I'm not going to be, like, horrifyingly. Yeah.
But they're like, but if I can't say that stuff to you, then I don't know how to talk to you.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's literally terrible.
And I went and saw a bunch of they thems that I know earlier today, and it was so lovely, and it was like crazy to be in a space where I was like, oh, gender just like actually doesn't matter here.
Yeah,
it was like all like the whole like everybody in the room was trans, and I was like, no, just like genuinely it does, like, nobody cares.
We're all
like doing that work like actively.
Yeah.
So it's just like literally chill, as opposed to like in other groups that I have been in recently where it's like in our brains, gender doesn't matter.
No. Yeah,
but like
yeah, yeah.
in function, it is a problem.
No, totally. Like I feel like we like talked about this a couple of weeks ago, like when we had chefs, like the like I see men and women as equals, like kind of thing. Like,
yes.
I think everyone is equal no matter their gender. Like, okay.
Great.
Like, so wonderful, wonderful thought process there. Good for you. But then, like, if you are consistently like dogging or not listening to or like belittling non-men, And then when a dude says something like, you're like, fuck yeah, let's go. Like, mm-hmm. okay, then it is like, mm-hmm. like that. You cannot lean on that as your pillar.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, that exact thing happened to me yesterday, like a lot of times.
Like, it's so frustrating because it's like, yeah, I know you're sitting here being like, well, I'm an ally, like I'm a feminist, but like you literally like I like have been in work scenarios or whatever, like every single like a manager, an upper, a whatever female leader like me is like a coworker level, whatever, like will not be even acknowledged. And then like the second a dude says something, literally they could be an intern,
yes,
and then the dude is like, oh, we should do this, and then it's like, oh yeah, and then but like those people really do believe that they don't treat people any differently.
No, exactly.
And that's what's so fucking annoying.
And I do think that there is an aspect of this of like, I don't like know what the right word is, but the best analogy I can give is like affirmative action. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's like diversity, equity, inclusion. Like, I think it's like in one of those type of words, but it's like in these people's heads, it's like, well, we're equals. So, you know, you have just as much right to like make a decision as I do.
Right.
But it's like, okay, but like the context, how we are raised, like there's just like so many reasons as to like, well, A, I'm also just not a fucking asshole, so I'm not gonna like steamroll everyone and be like, no, actually my idea is the best and that's why we're gonna do it,
right?
Like, I'm just never gonna do that.
I know, but then I do, honestly, like I'll do that kind of stuff and then I'm literally the enemy number one.
Yeah.
And it's like literally, but like shit, I'm though. Doing the same thing that other people are doing.
Yep.
It's literally causes me insane.
Yeah.
It literally drives me insane.
Yeah. No, it's the worst.
I know.
It's all really crushed me this past week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really have any advice because it's like really gets to me too.
Yeah, it's there's like.
I mean, obviously, if you can avoid people like that, do that. But like, obviously, that's not always the case. Like, it's not always that simple.
Yeah, I sent one fuck you text to a male collaborator so far today, but I have a second that I need to send.
Good for you.
Thank you.
What
it
did
felt
you
good.
Say?
Read
it aloud.
Well, okay. I'm like, I feel like this is deep enough in our episode that I can say this.
Yeah, I think like, so too.
Like, if you're still with us, like, you're not the people we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I was working with this producer, whatever. We made a song. I was going to do the cover art for it.
Yeah.
I had been planning it with, you know, my photographers, my graphic designer, we had been talking about it. I was like researching the props that I needed, the techniques that we were going to use, etc. And then this producer like just wouldn't stop pushing me on like the release date and whatever. And like, I am a quality over quantity type of person. Like, my team is going to take the time it fucking takes to, like, make a stunning piece of art. Like, why not? I also, like, wasn't that happy with the song. So I felt like, okay, at least, like, let me make this album art really good. And then, like, you know, to be honest, like, how many of my Instagram followers are really going to listen to my song? like, not that many. So, like, at least, like, to the people in my direct circle that I know, I can post the cover art and they could be like, oh, I bet that's a sick song.
Love it.
It's all for show.
Yeah. Marketing.
But then he was just like annoying me so much that I was like, you know what, dude, like whatever. If you need to release this song now, you do the cover art. Just like credit me as a feature on the song. Mm. I was like, honestly, like, let me just like get this off my plate. It was stressing me out. And I was like, I just like don't need this.
Yeah.
To be like, I'm not that proud of it. Like, let me just like
let it be.
Give him the steering wheel and like I can just be kind of along for the ride. And then he was like, cool. Like immediately was like, yeah, great. I'll let you know when I have a release date. I was like, okay, first of all, yeah. Is my producer like, this should you be a red
have been,
flag.
Yeah, you shouldn't have been that excited about that.
Exactly. Okay. No, exactly. I know. Yes, exactly. Exactly. This, and I didn't consciously bring this up, but this whole thing obviously is also misogyny.
Yeah.
Like rooted. So I was just, because in my prepping stage, bro had also sent me like, he had sent our demo to one of his artist friends and was like, here's some other options for cover art. I was like, I told you I'm working on it. The last text I had sent to him was like, I'll let you know when it's ready.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk to me again until it's ready.
Yeah.
So then whatever, I hand this all off to him. Then he texts me earlier this week. I literally like keep forgetting that I was also upset about this.
Yeah.
On like, it happened on Tuesday or something. Mm. Or like Monday or Tuesday, and I was like literally so upset about it. And then just so many other upsetting things happened, it became minuscule.
Yeah.
But bro sends me a photo and it was like, I figured out the release date, it's gonna be here. And it was my idea for cover art. But like executed so poorly.
Do you think he like shot it or did he?
Yes,
like-
he shot it, because then I looked many hours before he had texted me. I don't watch his Instagram stories because I don't care about bro at all. I watched his Instagram stories and it was like behind the scenes shots.
Oh.
Of him doing my shoe.
So weird.
Thank you for saying that, particularly because the text that I had sent him being like, I said like, hey, I've reflected on the rollout of this song. Like, I think it would be better suited like if you release it. And I literally, all I said was, then you can use your friend for the cover art and release whenever you want. And so then, of course, I text him today and I was like, hey, I'm not cool with you taking my idea for the cover art.
Yeah.
I said, you can either find new cover art or take my name off the feature.
Yeah.
Kind of slay. And of course, then he's like, oh, I was under the impression that like that's still the direction we wanted to go. I literally couldn't even fight him. I was like, I don't, what on earth?
Yeah, what?
What on earth gave you that impression? Because all we've looked at are my texts, and all I said is, then you can use your friend for cover art.
Right. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, he literally, like, it would just be so easy to just be like, hey, I'm going to shoot this. Are you cool? Would you be happy if, like, I shot this idea for you? If you like actually thought you were trying to be helpful.
Right. Like why wouldn't you like run it by me?
Right. Or like, hey, we're going to shoot this. Do you want to come or you want me to, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, exactly. Something.
Yeah.
And, you know, our friend read this dude so right, because like literally weeks and weeks ago, something else like similar was happening. And she was like, why do men think they can just like do things better than us?
No, literally. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, when has that ever been true?
It's never been. It's literally never been. But then bro also was like, I'll make sure to credit you for the cover art. I was like, do not do that. I was like, that is not what I want. Do not do that. But so he's, like, not willing to change the cover art. And he was like, God. I'll see if I can reach out to my distributor and like take your name off. I was like, it's gotta be possible. Figure it the fuck out. He was like, I was really hoping you would be a part of this rollout. Like, I don't want to take credit for your work or whatever. I was like, bro,
you're dead.
You already have. And this is what you've been wanting the entire time. I want literally nothing to do with it. I mean, I should have fucking known when, I mean, so long ago, like literally, I should have known in our first session when he misgendered me.
Yeah.
I try to be open. I really try to be non-judgmental.
No, I know. It's so hard.
It's so hard. And it's just like, it's never not bitten me in the ass.
Yeah.
Me trying to be like kind and accepting and non-judgmental.
No, I know.
It bites me in the ass every time.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do it anymore.
Good for you.
I'm re-entering my pretentious bitch era.
I think that's nice.
I think so too.
Very Wednesday.
Well, So that's misogyny. I'm sure everyone listening knows it well as well. Once again, we have no advice.
Just set your boundaries to whatever extent you can. Try to protect your peace.
And work with people who aren't men, honestly.
Yeah.
That's my best advice, and I've tried to untake that advice to be less judgmental.
No, I know.
And it's bitten me in the ass.
Yeah. To close out our first episode, we have an American horror story.
We're so clever.
So clever. We have a wonderful submission this week. It's truly giving Libra man. So I thought that we would have a tale, mm-hmm. sit back and listen.
Okay. I haven't read it yet either. So I'm excited.
It's like honestly just classic. But if you have an American dating horror story, it could be not American. It could be just a dating horror story. Give us international horror story. Please share. And we still will use this space for advice and questions as well. So there's links in all our social media bios and the show notes of this episode where you can submit. Okay. Here we go. Due to it being Libra season, I feel the need to tell my Libra dating horror story. I was working at a summer camp about 8 years ago when I fell for a Libra man. I know, my first mistake. He then quickly wooed me with music, poetry, long nights, staying up talking. It all felt very romantic. It wasn't unusual for the camp counselors to be sent on jobs outside of campgrounds. I was on the team leaving the grounds for a week, and he was on another team staying behind. I was, of course, bummed that we wouldn't be spending the week together, but I carried on with that week's assignment, texting him in my free time to see how things were back at camp. He stopped texting me back, and of course, I was thinking, there's no way he's ghosting me, because when I come back on Friday, we're going to have to see each other. When I come back, I see he has grown close to my friend and my roommate at the time. When there's no campers, the staff bunks together for intel this person shares. I didn't think that they were romantically close because I remember her making remarks about how she'd never be interested in, quote, someone like him, whatever that meant. She was also 4 years older than both of us, so the age difference was something that something she cited as a reason to stay away from him as well. Quickly, I realized that things continued romantically between me and the Libra, but I did pick up on the fact that the three of us, me, the Libra man, and roommate, seemed to be doing everything together. It became harder to get in time alone with him, and when she was around, he would hold my hand or kiss me, but always when she wasn't paying attention or when she had her back turned. We hadn't really talked about being public or private, so I didn't think much of this privacy. Flash forward to the end of summer, we don't live in the same state, so we both kind of knew what that meant for the end of the summer. He said he really wanted to stay in touch with me, and I agreed. He writes me a beautiful love letter, confirming everything that happened this summer was meaningful and that he loved me. I wrote him back, and that's kind of where things ended for us. No. Being in two different states just wasn't going to be sustainable for us. A couple months later, I'm hanging out with the roommate. She lived about an hour of where I was. We were going to a concert and getting ready together. She asked me if the Libra man and I had hooked up over the summer and that she had a feeling that's what had happened. I said yes and went on to tell her everything that happened between us and how we weren't really together anymore and had decided to leave things behind. She tells me that the week I was off campgrounds, they began hooking up after Libra man told the roommate that him and I were hooking up earlier in the summer. That didn't stop either of them. I then ask her, oh, let me guess, he wrote you a letter too? And she said, what letter? We try to contact him to let him know that we know what he did over the summer and how horrible it is that he would play off both of us like that. Needless to say, he never answered and has since ghosted us both. since this, I've also reevaluated with my friendship with the roommate, and we haven't talked in years.
Fucking classic.
Like,
Libra men are just such ghosters, aren't they?
Such ghosters, such two-timers. Like, I hate to say that, but, like, why are all the stories the same?
They're all the same.
Like, this one just takes place at a summer camp. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, it's yeah.
Just, yeah, they just, I mean, you know, we could just, I mean, couldn't you just tie anything to misogyny, really?
Literally.
But, like, it is that, like, people-pleasing energy plus misogyny.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I guess to in his defense, which most Libra men wouldn't do, is he did tell her that they were hooking up before, which yeah, we haven't, ever. We yeah. don't usually see. We don't usually see that kind of honesty. So, like, I give him that.
It's always a half-truth, though.
Always a half-truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we hooked up, like, one time. But, I mean, it's, like, over and I'm really into you now. So, like, you could hear it.
God.
I'm sorry that happened to you. But it's yeah. also just, like, why is it a Mad Lib? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating, isn't yeah. it? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you for writing in.
Thanks for writing in. I'm sorry that you two were scorned by a Libra man.
Yeah.
Happens to the best of us.
It probably hasn't been the only time.
Yeah.
But at least this seems like it's years ago. We've worked through it.
Yeah.
That's all we've got, folks.
That's all we've got for you. Spooky season. We're back next week with new looks, new costumes. And we're also trying some subscriber content this season. So
subscribe.
Pay us. If you want.
See you next week, sluts.
Bye, sluts. Bye.